This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
It's Wednesday. I just had to tell myself that because then I know what day it is.
Yeah.
When you get to my age, that's the sort of thing you do.
Really? You forget the days? Okay.
We've got Jake in the studio. We just want to talk a bit more about what you do. And we were just having a conversation off air that you are a journalist.
Freelance journalist.
And is that something you really want to do full time?
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love writing. I love speaking. I love debating. I love sharing. It's like I sort of said at the start. It's so refreshing to actually find something, finally, because I've always been so useless at everything else. To find something that I'm pretty good at, that I love, and that I want to pursue. And I've been doing it now a year and a quarter, and I've really been quite relentless about it. And there's no stopping now because
good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. And you are, you're 27.
Right? 27, yeah.
And I was just telling you that when I got my first break in radio, I was 27, 28.
Okay, yeah.
So roughly the same age as you.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically, hopefully, gives you a little bit of hope.
Oh, definitely. That, my favourite writer is a guy, he's passed away now, A.A. Gill. He didn't start writing till he was 35. Mm. He went on to become a very successful writer. For the Times, and he'd spent most of his 20s an alcoholic, and then he went to write on for the Times. He became a successful author, a food critic, and that's inspiring. I mean, Ricky Gervais didn't write The Office until he was 40. It's never too late.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things, you obviously want to take this to a whole new level. We were talking about things, how difficult it is nowadays, because there are, most people, if you're on Facebook, you could be deemed as a.
We're all journalists, we're all paparazzi these days, aren't we? Like I said, we've all got phones, everyone's got phones, we're addicted to our phones, and it's, you're right, if there was an incident, along the high street today, it'd be on Facebook within minutes, and we'll be talking and, discussing whether or not they would get a lot of the facts accurate is another story. But,
See, I think that's the most important thing. And I think in today's world where, it's there's a lot of make-believe on Facebook where somebody's embellished the truth or something. So my advice to you is you have to be completely honest. Mm-hmm. In today's world, you have to be completely honest, because otherwise, what's the point?
Yes. I mean, I give all my honesty from my columns. When you read my columns, it's completely me. It's my opinions. Whether you agree with it or not, it's another, that's irrelevant. It's, I give my honest opinions, I send them to Alan, he gives the thumbs up or the thumbs down, and then they go out. So it's quite simple, really, but it's all my own honesty.
Okay. It's something you have to be, unfortunately. Yeah, otherwise, there's two reasons why. One, you could get into trouble. Mm-hmm. And two, if you lose the respect of the people that are going to be reading your column or reading a story or listening to you on the radio or whatever, if they can't trust you, it's almost like if I started reading the news now and I made up a load of porcupines, would people listen in tomorrow? Some would, because they might think, come on, this is fun.
Yeah, of course.
But the majority of people think, I just want the news. I'll give you, for instance, and this is a big bugbear of mine, the BBC, okay. I think, I've said about them before, and I think sometimes their journalists are poor in a way that, I say that the lady that does it, the sports journalism in the mornings at the moment, her name's Sally Nugent, I think it is.
Right, yes.
Everything's a drama.
Okay.
Everything is an absolute drama.
Okay.
She'll change the way she speaks, she'll emphasise on different words and so on. But there was one thing the other day. You're a football fan. You mentioned you're an Arsenal fan.
I am, yes, yeah.
Okay, well, you know that Chelsea won the FA Cup.
Uh-huh, yep.
And she was on first thing in the morning on Monday, and she was saying, yeah, Chelsea won the FA Cup. And this is what Willian... Is it Willian?
Willian, yes.
This is what he thinks of Antonio Conte, the manager of Chelsea. And he's tweeted a picture of the team with the cup.
Okay.
Conte's in the picture as well. And he's blocked Conte out with a cup. Two cups, in actual fact.
Right, okay.
And she's saying, this is what he thinks of him, which isn't very much. Could he be on his way out of Chelsea?
Yes. I can kind of understand why she would do that, because that is the main topic, isn't it, at Chelsea at the moment. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go?
Right.
And I remember, because I actually watched the match, after the match, they didn't... They obviously congratulated Conte, but the first... All the questions were, are you going to stay? Are you going to stay? Are you going to stay? So I could see why she would do that, because that is the main, you know...
But then, if you look at it from another point of view, and yeah. this is the way I looked at it, how many cups has Conte won for Chelsea?
What's he's won the league? Is it three?
Two.
So just the league and the FA Cup.
League and FA Cup.
That's it, because they got to the final last year, didn't they?
Covered him with two cups.
Right. Yeah.
It fits. So.
I can see. Yes, yeah.
So my point of view is that I wouldn't have sold it that way if I was. I would have just left it, and I would. To me, it's not even a news story. Why are you even bothering? He's tweeted a picture of a manager with cups. Well, hang on a minute. He's just won two cups. That's one way I would have said. But she sold it the other way because they want to create the story.
They
now,
do.
Now you're an Arsenal fan.
I am.
And we've just got a new manager.
We have, yes.
And,
I'm excited.
And have you been following the story?
I have, yep.
How fascinating it is that the media absolutely had no idea who was going to be the Arsenal manager.
Yeah.
Okay? And now they got the ump about it because they didn't know, because Arsenal did their business behind closed doors.
Uh-huh.
And they've... Seriously, Ian Wright's come out and he's livid.
I read that.
Grow up, Ian
that.
Wright.
I mean, it's... Because the whole talk with Mikel Arteta, Patrick Vieira, Thierry Henry, and then suddenly Unai Emery comes out. Where did he come from? Who is this guy?
They had no idea.
And I kind of like that. Because it's, you know...
But did they have any idea at any time?
No. I mean, I am, you know, I was aware who he was, but I never knew he was on the shortlist.
No.
I didn't know he was going to get interviewed or anything like that.
And the most important thing is, neither did they.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I think that's why they have got the hump. And they said that. I mean, again, I really detest the way that it's done.
You can't win with the media, can you? Sometimes,
no, you can't. He actually came out. They've actually come out. Sally Nugent came out yesterday morning and said, "Yes, but his English is poor."
Mm-hmm.
That's bordering on racism, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. We can't win with the media. Like I said, if they don't get the story first, then they'll come up with another story and another story, you know. So yeah. It's just the way it is.
And I say, my advice to you is, be honest.
You have to
which you
yeah.
are.
You I can be quite controversial if I want, but it's not. I never sit down at a laptop and say, right, who am I going to offend today? I don't think like that. I just give my honest opinions on in 600 words, you know. And if people agree, fantastic. If they don't, it's part of the game.
So 600 words, that's what you get to... So
roughly 600 words, yeah.
Okay, which how long would that roughly take you to do?
If I'm on the ball, I can get that done in a couple of hours.
Right.
Really, I do write a lot. I write a lot, you know, sometimes I'll write things and I'll just delete them because they're rubbish. Other times I'll write things and I won't be able to stop, I get carried away. But I can write a column a day if I want. I mean, whether obviously it's good enough or not, then that's obviously up to the editor if it's going to be published. But I write a lot, and because I just love writing.
Do you know what? I'm going to give you loads of ideas. You can have these anyway, because I don't think we've given it to so many different people, or not so much the idea, but we've told them. You know, my frustrations are. You know what my frustrations are. My frustrations are that we do fantastic work here as Vectis Radio, but also the 4Ps as well.
4Ps, yes.
And it really frustrates me when people don't actually realise what it is and what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the help that that we hopefully give youngsters so they can go on to bigger and better things, or at least communicate and have the confidence to communicate in a better way that might eventually get them a job, or further education.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the things. It's there waiting to be written. You came in last week to see me, okay? And you came in whilst there were X amount of kids here from St. George's School.
Yeah.
There's a story there waiting to be written.
No problem.
It really is.
Yes, of course.
And I think if you're the only man that can write that.
I mean, I see it as my duty to write and try and promote and help the Isle of Wight. It's people, it's businesses, to spread awareness. That's what I enjoy doing. I like writing about coffee shops. I've got friends who work in coffee shops. I kind of feel like I'm helping them. I've got friends who work in gyms. I like to write about the gym because it helps them out, you know. And I would love to write a column about the 4Ps. I think it's such a fantastic thing. If I was a kid at that age, I would definitely get on it, because it offers so much. I think, you know, media and, you know, journalism and radio, it's a great place to be and to learn skills and to meet friends, to gain confidence, to build up communication skills. God, I would love to do anything I can.
It feels, there's a lot of positivity coming out.
The five P's, isn't it then? Positivity as well. We could add that one on.
That would change it. We'd have to change the website. Oh, we'd have to change all the paperwork. Everything. I'd have to get my business cards redone and everything. But don't you think that there is a lot of negativity? And I'm not saying we should shove it under the carpet, you know, because there are lots of things that we need to work on as people on the island. But the positives, they don't seem to be shouted about as much as the negatives, because, you know, people assume that we're interested more in the negatives. I'm not. No. I want to hear about the positives. I want to hear about some positive stories. And I bet if we told the stories, I told you about James. There's a young man called James who normally joins me on a Thursday, and he's with Andy Knight on a Monday. And he came in for an internship back in October. And he was going to be here twice a week. He was going to be doing this, that, and the other. And he came in, and I asked him to switch on the computer, which he did. And then when I asked him to type out his name, to put for a file, to put all the stuff that you're going to do now into that file, he as I said, that should be a capital J there, James. And he said, how do I do that? And it turns out that he had no knowledge of how a keyboard works. Hey, he managed to turn the computer on, and he thought that was great.
Yeah,
and we thought, crikey! So I went into the school, spent about 6 or 7 weeks in him with hour long sessions, teaching him how to use the keyboard and so on. And now he's able to come in, and he produces the St. George's show.
I mean, that's just fantastic, isn't it? I mean, for you to sit back and see that progress, and see that change.
I want to shout that from the rooftops.
It proves that it works.
Not for me, not for my benefit. No. It's for the people that can benefit from it.
Yeah.
Because for every James, I could sit here for 3 hours. You got enough stuff to fill newspapers for the next 6 years if you stick around.
Yeah, I mean, radio builds confidence.
It does.
It does. It builds confidence. It builds personality. I mean, I went to go and inquire about a journalism course at the Isle of Wight College, and they don't do them. And I was told to go to Highbury College in Portsmouth. I think more needs to be done on the island to promote its media industry. And I think there needs to be more courses. I think there needs to be more awareness spread and more projects, because James is a perfect example of somebody who came in, you know, with little knowledge, little confidence. And I'm sure he's only going to go from strength to strength, and that's only that's only a good thing.
It is.
It'll only be a great thing. You know.
It is. So. I mean, there's a young man. There's a show for us on Monday tea time. He does a tea time show, and his name's Chip. His real name's Robert Clark.
Okay.
And when Robert turned up, he was one of the first 4P's kids on the course.
Right.
And he's one of those kids that would not let you finish a sentence. So after a period of time, we nicknamed him. Like, you're going to get a nickname at some point.
Yes, please.
His nickname was Chip.
Right.
Because he kept chipping in.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he wouldn't let you finish a sentence. Right. Now he does. Just cutting a long story short, he suffered. He had learning difficulties. Most of them language problems. He now does his own show.
Wow.
And what he does is he will sit here running the show.
Really.
Running the controls. 23 years old, I think he is this year, and he's grown so much in 4 years. And I don't mean like he's got really big.
he's eaten a lot.
And his dad sits where you are, and he does the show with his dad.
That's really cool.
And he drives the show. I mean, it's awesome. It's an awesome. It's a story waiting to be written.
Well, you know what? Like I said, I would love to write a column on it. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Love. You know, I've got, I do speak to a lot of people who do different things, so I've got a lot of ideas in my head, but that is definitely one that I can put, down on a bit of paper. And,
okay.
Look,
enough about us and stuff. We had this idea of, which kind of, it follows on, because in today's world is changing, and we have to adapt, and we have to adapt it. And we touched on major shops, major companies that have had big, shops, properties.
Yep.
Like Maplin's going to close. It's a travesty. I think it's a travesty. I think there's other shops that are going to close down. There's Mothercare.
Yep.
There's talk of Marks and Spencer. They're all big places, and you know, they're okay. Are they going to be there or not? And I don't want to, you know, heap a lot of pressure on them and tell you that they're closed. They're not closed, but there are rumours that they may be closing.
Yeah.
But put that with the shops that we've already got. Like you go over to Curry's now, okay. Other places are available, but they moved from the. What was it? The computer place, the PC World.
PC World, yep.
And they've merged and put that in one shop. So there's another shop there.
Yep.
And in about 12 months' time, there'll be another couple of shops because they're putting them up by where Newport Football Club is now.
Isn't there talk of... Isn't there going to be another... Is it Audi going to be built?
I've heard.
I think it's... Yes, Audi. I think I've heard talk of an Audi being built up there.
Okay. Because you just worry that we're going to be left with all these empty big buildings now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough when you walk down the high street and there's a lot of shops there that are closed down, a lot of places are closed down, and now we've got bigger buildings. When you think of Mothercare, it's not a small place. There was rumours about Carpet Right. Now, apparently, you know, just to set the record straight, Carpet Right have got problems elsewhere around the country, but apparently the Isle of Wight is okay. But, you know, places like that are huge, and if they did go, they're big buildings just being
Mothercare,
left.
Well, Mothercare, I mean, I can't think of another... I mean, where else would you go to buy most of... I mean, they offer everything a mother needs for a baby. Are they going to be closing down?
The word is, I mean, it was in a leaked document. It's not confirmed.
But right.
They've
right.
obviously got issues. They've got problems. I mean, when you look at Marks and Spencer, they came on. The managing director was on the TV this morning saying that, you know, they've had a 64% loss this year.
Right.
That's a huge loss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're going to have yourself huge problems. They're saying that the one on the island is okay. Largely because, I mean, you know, this is what I think. This is my opinion. We're largely made up of old people on the Isle of Wight, and that's where they go and do most of their shopping. If you go in there, it's always busy. But you know, that's just my view.
No, I mean, I definitely agree, and I think, you know, a lot of old people are very stuck in their ways. You know, they're not, well, I suppose a lot of them aren't very tech savvy. You know, they're not on the Amazons, they're not on the internets and stuff, so they do stick to their old shops and stuff, so they do keep a lot of business running.
Now, we touched on, and I said this a couple of hours ago. Before we can actually start fixing the problem, we have to know why these places closed down in the first place.
Yeah.
Because otherwise there's no point. You're just building on bad foundations because you don't know the reason why it happened in the first place. And we touched on Roger from Sana Sports.
Yeah.
And they were, I mean, they moved around a bit, but their last known whereabouts in the high street was right opposite the council offices.
Yes.
And they closed down probably about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they moved their business to the family garage at home.
Yep.
And they flourished.
Yeah.
So much so that they've probably done exceptionally well.
Did really well, yes, with the goalkeeping gloves. And, yeah.
And another story.
Yeah.
Waiting to be written. Okay?
I will Facebook Roger later.
It's a positive story.
Yes.
But the knock-on effect is exceptional because...
But Roger was smart because he saw it coming. He saw it, you know, coming, so he acted. And he made his move at the right time.
You know? So when you look at people like Roger, you think, surely you should be advising, you're the one that we should be looking at and taking advice from because you've done it.
He's an experienced businessman. Mm. And I think for any, you know, new businessman or for any current, you know, businessman, then, you know, you have to keep one eye on the future.
Yeah.
You do, because the economy is changing all of the time, new ideas. You have to keep an eye on the future. You do. Obviously, you've got to think about the now and the current climate, but you have to think of the future. And Roger did that. He knew the internet was coming. He knew shops were going to close down.
You just imagine, and this is the way my mind works. Sometimes it's cynical. Sometimes it's too cynical. But I look at Roger and I think, wow, if only we had had somebody with your foresight, your ideas, your nous, that was either running a council 12 years ago that saw what was going to happen or... maybe running the country or something. But I look at him and I think, how is this man not, you know, in the limelight because he's managed to do this and this and advised other people to do X, Y and Z so that they can flourish too? He's done exceptionally well. But
he's an example of, you know, somebody that's closed down their shop and gone to the internet and it's worked because he's got good ideas. He knows what he's talking about. He's an honest man with good principles and fair play. You know, it's a good family-run business. They're a great family and, you know...
It's a lovely story.
I wish them all, you know, the success, but they've earned that success and they've been smart, you know, with that success. If they'd have carried on in the shop, you know, it, well, who knows what would have happened.
So my question to would be to him is why did you do that? You obviously saw it coming, what was coming, and because, as I say, you have to be able to know what the problem is, before you can fix it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we look at all these shops that we've just mentioned, they're closing down. Is it because of, you know, there's not enough people buying X amount of products, or is it a mixture of that and the fact that you can get things online?
Yeah, I think I was watching an advert the other day during the football match. I think England were playing, and it advertised the full England kit, and I think it was around, for an adult, £75 in the shop. You're going to JD Sports, you're going to Sports Direct, the average football shirt costs around £35-40. If you go onto Amazon, it's a bit cheaper.
Right.
You know, free delivery. You haven't got to go down to the shop even. It will be at your door the next day. It's just cheaper online. It's, you know, cheaper. There's more selection. There's more sizes. There's more availability. It's more convenient. I could pick up my phone now. I could go onto Amazon. Oh, I like that T-shirt. Click, 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 bang. It'll be at my door tomorrow morning. You can't beat that. I haven't got to go out of my way to go to the shops. That sounds quite lazy. I'm not a lazy person. I do like to go around the shops. I quite like the experience. But it's quicker and it's cheaper and it's convenient, and we've become like that. This is the way the country is.
Yeah,
we want things at
instant,
cheap prices, and that's why the likes of Aldi have taken over and the likes of Poundland have taken over, because it's cheap.
Other shops are available.
Other shops are available. Yes, other shops are available.
But I must admit, we had the guy that used to run Hamilton's. The late Andy Guster, he was in probably about 18 months ago,
right.
And he was saying, I mean, he's been in numerous times, but he was saying that everybody wants it. It's got to be instant. You're snapping your fingers just now, and that's what he did as well. Everybody wants, you want it now. Yeah. You want it now.
Yes, we want it all, and we want it now, and we want it at a good price. We won't go into the shops to buy a shirt for £50, an England shirt for £50. If we're going to go on Amazon and get it for £30 with free delivery, who would do that unless we've got money to blow?
Well, which you would hope that we try, you know, as people, and I know other people do as well, to buy local as much as we possibly can.
Yes,
and it's becoming increasingly more difficult.
Yeah,
we always, if we can buy local, then we do.
Yeah, I mean, I like to eat, if I can afford it, Island produce, you know, Island milk, drink Island beer, spreads and jams. Unfortunately, as much as I would like to always do that, it's a bit more expensive.
But then are you paying for the quality?
You are paying for the quality, and obviously you're paying for the fact that it's Island grown.
Yeah,
it's Island produced. You know, if you go into Sainsbury's, other shops are available, you can buy spreads and marmalades for a fraction of the price, you know. And we are living in tough times where things aren't getting cheaper, they're getting dearer. So we have to go and source the cheapest shop and find a bargain.
Yeah, Isle of Wight people love a bargain.
We do.
That's not supposed to sound derogatory to islanders. It's not a secret that the Isle of Wight doesn't have the wages that other places have,
no.
And the finances.
No.
So people are having to shop around and find the best bargain, the best deal that they can get. I mean, years ago, when you go back X amount of years, and there was a place called Barnett's. Barnett's was a place. I think it's a charity shop now.
Oh,
and,
right.
And you come out of the bus station, you turn left, and it's right opposite the pub. Almost opposite the pub. There's a noodle bar the other side of it.
Oh, I know what you mean.
And
there
used to be a place there called Barnett's. And you used to go in there and get your Barnett's pies and your joints and your meats and your, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And David Randini had a job in there.
Oh, really?
He used to take your money.
Oh, God.
It was great. He used to go in there, order your food, they'd get it, and then they'd walk it around the other side, and then you'd pick it up from David, but you'd have this ticket, and he'd stick that on a big spike, and then he'd take your money. It was like ancient. It was like stepping back in time.
Yeah.
But our mum used to say, right, I want you to go to that shop there and get Barnett's pie, some brawn and some other stuff was horrible, and then I want you to go to DeBell's, and I want you to get a zip some iron-on violin and stuff. The point I'm trying to make is we would walk from the top of Pan into town, and we would go to a variety of shops to get the best product.
Okay.
It wasn't about price. If it was... We would probably shop around or get less.
Yes.
But the fact is, you would walk from the top of from the top of Pan, which is quite a walk into town, and then you would walk around the town to various places, and then there was the supermarket, and that supermarket idea, which is a fantastic idea, but it's had a knock-on effect. So when we go back to saying, hey, look, can we fix things? We need to know what the problems are.
Yeah.
Okay, but these problems have been around for a long, long time. We can't blame it all on the internet.
No, no, no.
We can't. You know, it is a case of people are working harder, so people are working longer. Mm. Back then, in those days, you probably had a weekend off. You definitely had a Sunday off, and most of the shops were shut. Now people are working across a seven-day week, and they want to be able to... Sadly, they want to be able to come and go into a supermarket... buy what they want to get in one hit and clear off home, so it's a lot less hassle because they've got a lot less time. Mm-hmm. You think when do you think Tesco arrived on the island?
I don't know.
Go on, have a little think.
Tesco.
First Tesco.
The 90s?
1984, 85-ish.
Really?
A year later, we had our first McDonald's. So fast food became fish and chips.
Yeah, yeah.
But then then McDonald's arrived. Now we've got lots of fast foodie places. But the point I'm making is that the supermarket has played a massive part in the demise of the high street. We should never forget that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying people have, but, you know, because blaming the internet, I don't think is the whole answer, the whole reason. And I think we need to go back to basics. The sad thing is as well, just walking around Newport in my mind... and trying to find a butcher. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think there's only one now.
E. Downers.
That's the one.
That's the one, yes.
That's the one.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
There is only one butcher available. There used to be loads of butchers. And you think, okay, that's nothing at all to do with internet. That is nothing at all to do with internet whatsoever.
No,
you know, before they started disappearing long before the internet really kicked off. I mean, you know, that you go up. Come on, in your mind, you're only 27, but you remember Baxter's. There was a Baxter's.
Butchers. Remember Baxter's.
That is where. Let me see now. There's the Arches in Newport. In the square, it used to be opposite there. If you went round the corner, there was a butcher's and a fishmonger's around the corner.
Fishmongers,
where you work now? Because you work in a supermarket as well.
I do.
You?
Yes, yes.
That's oh crikey, what's it called? Co-op. There's a place there, and that there used to be you walked in, and there was like a little undergroundy type. You walked in, and all outside.
Okay.
You know, the whole front shop came off, and you walked in and around, and butchers among us. You had Baxter's, you had Chapel, you had numerous butchers, and they disappeared quite quickly after the supermarkets came in.
Yeah.
Can't blame the internet.
No, it's not the sole reason, but you know, you're right. Probably a supermarket, you can get pretty much everything under one roof at a cheaper price. And, you know, you're right. I mean, I do believe that you get what you pay for.
Mm.
And, you know, I believe I'd rather go to the butcher's to buy my meat than a supermarket. But I'm paying more in a butcher, you see. So
you're paying. I mean, we had something from a supermarket the other day, some meat from a supermarket.
Yeah.
And we said we both missed the butcher that we used to have. Because the meat, yes, was slightly more expensive, but it was better quality. Mm-hmm. Much, much better quality. Mm-hmm. So we took a call.
Let's do it.
Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm not too bad, mate. Enjoying the sun?
Good. Is it sunny where you are, then?
Oh, mate. It's not a cloud in the sky.
Well, I'm kind of looking outside, and it kind of looks bright, but it kind of looks cloudy as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just having a little look. It's, yeah. Anyway, you didn't want to phone up and talk about clouds?
No, I was giving you a mainland weather report there, but... No, seriously, I think what you discovered, or what I've discovered with the island, was that what killed your butcher trade was getting rid of the abattoir, mate.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, everything now, if you produce it on the island, the farmers, they've got to send it over here to get it slaughtered and get it back on the island again. It's unreal.
Not cost-effective, is it?
No. Not with the price of ferries and whatnot, and the actual sending it over to be done at a different place.
Do you know, that was a mistake. But having said that, I did say that to somebody very recently, and they explained the reason why. And I kind of understood it. I can't remember what it was, but I kind of understood it. And I thought, well, is that just a cop-out? Just to sort of make out that somebody's made a right decision? You know, for me, it wouldn't be worth having an abattoir now, I don't think, because the genie's out of the bottle and it's gone. I mean, sadly.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Yeah, the horse is bolted. Like you say, you've got the supermarkets over there. It's getting it from over here dirt cheap off the farmers. And that's why they're putting into those processes.
Well, it's a similar issue with the milk, isn't it? The milk, most of the milk that we produce here goes off and then we bring a load over. Well, what's the point of that? I don't get that at all.
Mate, I've known a couple of farms, dairy farmers, they've gone under because of that, because they slash the prices what they pay the farmer. Consequently, they've lost out in the end. Same with eggs.
See, I think, exactly. I think the sad thing is that here we are with these issues and problems. What we don't want to do is blame people because
it's just progress,
What I'm saying is, we need to work out what went wrong and why is our high street struggling, and if it is not going to be, I mean, there's so many places. The top of Newport, there's about three or four places that when I moved into the house that I'm at now, they were all. I wouldn't say they were thriving businesses, but they were businesses that were doing okay. Yeah. And there's three or four that's just disappeared in one little block.
Over here in Hampshire, we've got Andover, and the high street is just basically coffee shops and charity shops,
barber shops as well.
Yeah. Hello, mate. I didn't get your name there. Sorry.
Hello, I'm Jake.
Hello, Jake.
Nice to meet you. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, mate. Looks like enjoying the sunshine, so we're doing all right.
Can't beat it. No, but you're right, though. You know, you are right. Every time I walk down the high street, there's, like I said, charity shops, postcard shops, Powerlands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because we do miss our favourites. I mean, I used to go along and I used to go into every single shop and have such a good experience. And
well, you could spend all day in Newport, can you?
You could spend a whole day. Yeah. Me and my friends used to do it. You know, we had we used to have £2 between us. And we used to go around all the shops and, like I said, it's spend 3 or 4 hours. It was fantastic.
I'll tell you what is coming back, Ian.
Go on.
And that's vinyl shops.
Yeah, there's
selling
one.
Old records.
Yeah, definitely.
Scarrett's Lane, they've opened one there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's amazing. Well, like you said, it just everything comes around, goes around. Don't it? Like you say, they got rid of the CD player. Oh, that'll be it. That'll be the end of that. They won't come the MP3 player. And to be honest with you, you can actually now buy a cassette player.
Wow.
It's about £30, but.
I could never. I didn't like cassettes.
I had a cassette.
Cassettes were all right, but I found that after about 15 years, you used to get dropouts, mate.
Yeah.
I suppose it's the magnetic tape itself. Look, I suppose it just loses its magnetism.
Or it just chew it up and, it
wouldn't
play
properly. How many times have you driven down the road and seen a hedge full of tape? Oh, dear. But why chuck it out the window? I suppose it's just sheer, being angry. Yeah. Ah, the tape, boom. I did it once. I got a tape. So I was driving a lorry once, and I got my fingers stuck in the actual tape, trying to get it out the tape player in the lorry. And I was coming up to a roundabout, and I thought, "How am I going to do this?" So I couldn't change gear. I had to change gear with the right foot, go round the roundabout in about second gear before I could get back on the straight road to get the tape out again.
I've got a pen in my hand. How many times have we picked up a pen and put it inside the tape there to wind it back in?
Yes,
it's
instant rewind. Also, another thing that really bugs me: new cars. They haven't got CD players.
No, there's a lot of that I haven't got in.
What they got now is MP3, or Bluetooth. Excuse my French. Yeah. Bluetooth. I do apologise. But, you know, anybody that doesn't know how to do that, they got a new car, say an old fogey got a new car, you can't play his CDs, you can't play his tapes or nothing, now you're stuck with the radio.
Well, that's an interesting thing. I know you're slightly older than I am, and I know that I'm probably about twice the age of Jake here. I mean, he's talked about cassettes, it's incredible. When was the last time you actually played a cassette or vinyl?
Me?
No, Jake.
Oh, Jake, sorry.
I've not played a cassette since I was a kid, and I probably played a bit of vinyl last year for a bit.
Yeah?
Last year. I've got a few bits that I bought from that one, that Shop and Ride.
What about you, Keith?
Cassette?
Yeah.
I've got a cassette player in the van. Not a plays cassettes, but a cassette player that I can play a cassette if I want to, because I've got loads of cassettes. I just a cassette. I should convert.
When was the last time you played a cassette, though?
Oh, crikey, about 3 or 4 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Recent, then?
Wow.
Yeah, recently, yeah. But Ian, up until, crikey, my favourite source of music was the 8-track player.
Right.
You could put it on, and it was continuous loop.
Yeah.
You might get a ka-dunk halfway through the track, but, you know, do you remember that?
No, I didn't really. I never had one of those.
Didn't you?
No.
Well, the other one was Echoes by Pink Floyd. It'd do a bit of guitar solo, then it slowly fade away, and all of a sudden you had a ka-dunk as it changed channel, and it started up again. Yeah.
No, I never had one of those. But
most of your jingles on 8-track.
Well, they would have been, yeah, carts, I would imagine, when we first started, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the cartridges, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm just interested because until we actually can work out everything, and I say, this is what really frustrates me. We were talking about Roger Saunders, how brilliant he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a bloke.
We should have embraced him. You know, people should be going to him as some kind of guru to fix the high street or let businesses grow in another direction.
Yeah, but what do we do? Who was that?
Who was that woman? Who was that irritating woman that was the BBC embraced and she went here, there, and everywhere? Is it somebody
crikey.
Porteous or something that she was the big lady that was going to change the high street and so on? She got loads of money for this and loads of money for that, and she had all these ideas. Somebody Porteous, something like that.
No.
She went under some guise of the high street. She was going. She was on this TV program, that TV program, okay, and I remember saying to the wife at the time, "This woman has no idea." Mm-hmm. Because this problem is much bigger than her. It's a bit like Brexit, when you've got three old guys from the government trying to work out Brexit. You ain't got a clue, because it's bigger than you.
And that's where I think, you know, you're right about Roger. He is an island-born businessman. Mm. He knows business. He knows the high street. He's not some, he's not some MP.
He's a very intelligent man.
He is very intelligent. He's not some journalist. You know, he's not a journalist. He is an island businessman who has, you know, knows the basic, you know, ways to run a business. And that's why, like, you know, I think we should, if we were to get advice from somebody,
you harness that stuff that he's done, and you think, right, okay, you're going to struggle where you are, probably because, I mean, let's be honest, I've got to get the words out right because I don't want to upset anybody, but I look at the way that we talk sometimes and we mislead people. You know, the rates are probably too high for certain companies, okay, especially in the high street, and that isn't the fault of the council, it's the fault of the government, because they set the rates, they set the figures.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
If our local peeps had the power to set our own, then people in the high street could probably thrive, purely and simply because they're not paying so much on their rates and so on and so forth. Before you actually sell anything, you've got to make thousands.
Yeah,
and you know, if you're living off that, if you've got to, you know, work your life out to that, you've got to make thousands before you can actually afford to live here, so to speak. Your business is going to fail unless it's a really, really sound business.
Ian.
Yeah.
So you know, down Union Street in Rye, do they still got those in that arcade where you can go down underground and all those little units and whatnot?
Oh, do you know what? I used to live just around the road from there in Church Lane, just back of it. I've got no idea.
No, I was going to say, in the high street you got there at Newport, I know it's all big conglomerates that own the properties and whatnot, but couldn't they get together with the people that want to open shops and have, like, pop-up shops? Say, well, here you go, have a shop that's rated for 3 months. If it don't work, you're 8.
Yeah.
Couldn't they do that?
Well, I would imagine, I don't know too much about the ride thing, because I know, I used to live there and it used to be really busy, lots of businesses in there.
Mate, I used to spend ages in there. I think they had a cafe in there.
They did have a cafe,
You go down underground, and I think there was a second-hand shop, if I remember rightly.
Last time I went in there was probably about 12, 13 years ago.
About the same, mate.
Do you remember the lady that used to come on, when we worked at another radio station, she used to come on and read your palms?
Oh, she was in there, wasn't she?
Lynn Empson was in there, yeah. That was the last time I went down there. She read my palm. She said, come in and see me one day. So I did. I went in and see her, and she told me everything I needed to know.
And did it come true?
Yeah, the relationship you're in now is not going to work.
Oh, God.
So I did.
Yeah, there's another thing that is bugging me. I won't say who it is, but there's a property in Ventnor that's trading, and he's been told to remove his tables off the pavement. Otherwise, he's got to pay rent to rent the pavement now they're trying to bring in.
Right.
But I don't know, how long has that been happening over there?
I think that's been in place for quite a while. I think there is a place in Newport behind the church, behind St Thomas's Church. So there's a bloke there that does a I can't remember the name of the shop, but he's got a little place, he ropes off a little area where you can have a
skin trade.
Is it skin trade?
Skin trade, yes.
I'm pretty sure he has to pay some kind of rates for that.
He does. You know Farmhouse Fair, the fruit and veg shop?
Yeah.
Didn't that get into a little bit of trouble because it had its box of fruit and veg outside on the pavement?
Why shouldn't it be able to do
it's
that?
It's a fruit and veg shop.
Exactly. Exactly. As long as you're not obstructing the way there.
What it is, Ian, it stems back to the old, oh dear, I've tripped over your box, I'm going to sue you.
I think that's what they thought.
Bang on.
Where there's a claim, where there's a blame, there's a claim.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, mate, I'll get off this one and give somebody else a chance. And,
thanks,
nice
cool.
To you. Nice to speak to you, Jay.
Cheers, cool.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Thanks, Keith. Ta-da. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back with some more.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Your station, your community.
Olive White Studio Glass at Arrowton Barnes Craft Village is one of the leading British glassmaking studios and has a reputation worldwide. The studio is open 7 days a week and you can come and watch master glassmaker Timothy Harris create his amazing designs. A visit to Isle of Wight Studio Glass also offers an opportunity to purchase a piece of glass that you will treasure for always. You can also buy online at isleofwightstudioglass.co.uk or call us on 522-339.
Island Valleton is the Isle of Wight's most recommended mobile service. Check out their reviews on Neil.com. Car valets from just £30. Call Keith or Darren on 0776-408-339. Or check online for Island Valleton at Neil.com, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram for photographs and customer reviews. Island Valleton, a perfect job every time.
Calling all ladies and young women, would you like to learn to sing in the barbershop style? White Satin is offering a free course starting on Thursday, June the 14th. This friendly group meets at St Mary's Church Hall in Carisbrook at 7:30. The course lasts for 6 weeks and is led by several well-respected vocal coaches. More information is available from Jackie Morris on 07765 265656. That's 07765 265656.
Isle of Wight Food Bank provides emergency food and support to local people in crisis. Your support helps stop local people going hungry. For more information, ring the office on 01983 292 040 or check out isleofwightfoodbank.org.uk/.
It was a well-paying job, respectable, wearing a suit and tie every day. But I drank 24/7. Drank on the way to work, drank at work.
I never could come to terms with admitting that I had an alcohol problem or a pill problem.
I decided to get clean, and so I went to the Knockin' On program.
Not only did I handle my drug addiction, I completely knew how to live life.
Call Knockin' On today at 01435 512 460. 01435 512 460.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing at vectisradio.fm.
He's a lovely old bloke as well. Keep him busy, because otherwise he just falls asleep. So give him a call. It's 12 minutes away from one. It's gone quick, hasn't it?
It's flown by.
I've
had a really good time. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's been fantastic. It's really good.
I've got to be honest, we're sort of having a conversation. You're 27, I'm 53 in a couple of weeks' time. And, you know, it's interesting that we... You know, everyone's. You've got a feature called Jake's Take.
Jake's Take is my brand name that I've come up with, my blog's name and my blog's, you know, my blog website and stuff.
I like that.
And, I think it's got a ring to it. I think it's got a catch. It's short. It's simple. You know, and I'm working on it a lot, and I want to build it into you know, a brand. I mean, at the moment, it's just a thing. You know, but there's no. Who knows what I can do with it. And it's the exciting thing about it.
But the thing is, you're 27, and there's things that happened before and stuff, and you just got to do some research. And this is you asked me for some advice. I look at it and I think I'll chuck another scenario at you. It's one that I use quite a lot. And we look at problems, but we don't want to look too deeply because we don't, you know, we can't be bothered.
And we were saying about, you know, just one thing. We're talking about, right, okay, what's the issue with our high street? Is it because of this? Is it because of that? Or do we need to look deeper? You need to look deeper. Of course you do.
Yeah.
Because, as you've just realised, we're talking about all the butchers. Mm-hmm. You know, supermarkets have come in and they've kind of taken and you know, been a problem for people on the high street. Mm-hmm. Because they're doing what they're doing, and because they can knock it out a little bit cheaper, that means the little man on the high street is struggling. It's not, I mean, it's not rocket science. It really isn't. And it's been going on for, you know, for years and years. I always remember getting a Jam song back in about 1980. It was a Sound Effects album, and there was a little man on the corner shop.
Oh, yeah.
And they explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And they explain it really, really well. The lyrics of it just sum it up. And that was in 1980. So when you look at the high streets of Newport, Ryde, and any other high street, and you think, right, okay, when did Tesco arrive? Tesco arrived on the island. I'm not blaming them. You know, they set up a business, you know, the things started to change. We lost butchers,
yeah.
You know, other supermarkets came, and it's you know, it's not just something we can say, oh, it's the internet, that is, because that's too easy. It's
no.
too easy to say. I do want to chuck something at you, because you're of an age where you quite possibly would have been, or you may have just missed it. Now, I look at schools and I think, right, okay, what's the issue with schools? Okay. Education, they've said, is, you know, figures for exams and so on and so forth is down. You know, the exam results aren't like they used to be, and neither is the discipline. People say, oh, discipline, kids got no discipline. And I think that's just a cop-out. It's not right. I don't believe that to be absolutely true. You've got to look at the bigger picture. Now, I bumped into another analogy that I use quite a lot. There was a school teacher that used to go to Medina, and he had a hell of a reputation.
Yeah.
Okay. We used to think as kids that he was caning people left, right and centre. Uh-huh. I bumped into him about 12, 15 years ago, and we were talking. We were watching my son play football at the time. He was only young, but he said, see, people think that I used to cane people left, right and centre. And I said, well, you did, didn't you? And he said, I guess, how many people did I cane in his 22 years of schooling?
Right.
Have a guess.
Double figures. Double figures? Up in the 50s? 60s?
17.
17?
Not even one a year.
Wow.
But we thought that he
would
was.
Do it all the time.
Because our mindset was, we don't want it.
No.
Because everyone else is, you know, getting it, and we don't want it.
Sure.
So, but we were fearful of it, so we behaved.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So would it have worked? We've done away with the cane now. We don't do that now. Is it so?
But it's socially unacceptable for even parents to hit their kids, isn't it? In shops. I mean, it's.
I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong. I think there is an element of you shouldn't. And I also look at it and think, well, how are you going to learn if you don't? And the other thing is, why don't we as people look, instead of looking back just 10 years, look back 30 years and look at the amount of people that have gone wrong at school,
yes.
Done things, been naughty and so on. Has it worked and so on? You can't just look back 10 years. And the point I'm making is when we look back at shops, we can't just go back 10 years whilst the internet was good.
No, of course not, because there was a time when the internet wasn't around.
We have to look at the bigger picture.
Yes.
So maybe, you know, Jake's bigger picture is, you know, maybe something, you know, another feature there. I don't know.
Could do, yes.
But we don't. We're lazy.
We are.
And it just got, coming back to what you do, that's your job. That's your job to educate people. Your job is to educate people with the facts.
Yes.
And that is something that we don't do enough of, because we have too many lazy journalists that don't do it right.
No.
Because they're interested in, oh, let's quick blame someone. You know, yeah. No, hang on a minute. These are the facts here. This, if you look at the bigger picture, this is what we've got here. Because we can't ever fix anything unless we go into it in great detail and actually own up that, hey, hang on a minute, it's not just the internet.
No, you have to do your research. If you're going to write a good column, a good honest column that people are going to read, you know, you have to take it back. You know, I always try and take it back. I always try and look back beyond my years, because I know there are going to be people who read my column of a certain age that will pick out things that I get wrong, you know, and that have got more experience than me, and that know the island better than me. So I have to make sure that I take it back and do my research so I get the central facts. I mean, I could mention the internet as a main reason, but like you said, the supermarket's another reason.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And there are others too.
You have to look at both sides as well.
Yeah, the other thing is, obviously, there are a lot more people that are
you know, working across a 7-day week, and they don't have the time to go and do their shopping like they used to.
No.
You know, and there's lots of things. There's lots of reasons, and I say it is just looking at the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is important. Yeah. And we don't do that enough because we're a bit lazy.
We are. I mean, there are pros and cons to everything, and you're right. It is easy to go into Aldi and spend £20 get a full load shop, you know, within 5 minutes in out. But you know, are we buying the quality? Are we getting the quality? You know, in terms of the food.
Absolutely.
You know? So, you know, yeah.
We are kind of running out of time. We've got about 4 minutes left. So, if there's anything else you want to chat about, then feel free. But I've got an idea for you. Another idea.
Go on.
What do you reckon the average age is on the island?
Average age, 98, 86.
That's funny.
No.
Go on, average age.
46, 45.
Now, I've heard a rumour, and this is a feature waiting to be written.
Go on.
Because these are the sorts of things that we all need to do. If we're going to fix things, we need to know facts and figures.
Yes.
What have we got here on the island? How many old people? I heard that it was the average age was about 64, 65.
Right,
which is quite high.
Yeah.
Massively high. But I don't know that for sure. So maybe
sounds
that's
about right. To be fair,
maybe that's you know, very recently is a load of ideas for you for your features. I'm just thinking
you're filling my head about
these need to be written.
Definitely.
One of the issues we spoke about this about a week ago, and you'd have heard the school in East Cowes, the studio school, closing down.
Oh yes,
because they don't have enough youngsters to go into the school.
Right.
Okay, I think they've been running at about a third of what should be in the school, and I've sort of said, well, hang on a minute. When we had this new thing that the council pushed our way about 12 years ago, that then council said, well, we're gonna shut all these down, and we're gonna have these new places open up, and we're gonna have five super high schools and one private school. Yeah. And we did the maths last week. We checked it out. There's about 12 high schools that could be deemed as high schools at the moment. So we've got twice as many.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, well, we've got to shut this school because we ain't got enough kids.
Well,
it's not rocket science, is it?
No.
Well, you shouldn't have opened all them schools, should you? It's just ridiculous.
It's also, you know, they don't think, do they? It's, it's pretty ridiculous.
There's another story that needs to be written.
Well, I tell you what, once I start getting my podcast down, once I start, you know, doing my podcasts, then I will definitely have all these subjects that you're throwing at me. I'm going to not only go into my writing, but I'm going to put them on.
Good for
podcast,
you.
So,
there's a lot of positive stuff that doesn't get
a lot of stuff that needs to be promoted.
Yeah,
you know, we're a great island. We do really great things, and like you said, there's a lot of things that do go unnoticed.
Do you know what? There are
time for a change.
Just around here at the Riverside Centre, there are around 40 odd different charities that are based within this building.
Really?
40 odd charities. Yeah.
Wow.
Honestly, it's. And it's amazing that these people are doing all of these things,
mm-hmm.
and they don't get the recognition they deserve,
mm-hmm.
and yet there are a lot of people on the island that need help, support, and so on. And these charities are doing wonderful things, but people don't know about them, which is kind of disappointing. And that's where you come in.
That's where I come in.
That's where you come
in. That's what I'm going to do.
That's what you're going to do.
Exactly.
Good.
On my podcast, I'm going to use my voice, and I'm going to get these topics by the scruff of the leg. I'm going to just. You know, chuck them out there.
Good 100%. For you.
No, honestly, thank
good
you.
Good for you. Yeah. No, honestly, I see it with when we first moved to the Riverside Centre.
Yeah,
I did question why are we here?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we were at the kiosk.
What are we trying to do? You know,
what are we? Why are we here?
We're trying to achieve. Yeah,
and then after a period of a couple of weeks, you think, do you know what? We're actually in the right place here.
Yeah.
We are actually in the right place.
We're a voice.
With our ethos of what we do and what we're all about and what they do. I think what they do here is absolutely incredible. But we don't shout about these things enough.
Yeah.
And that's what I say, leading on to One Life Festival, which we were talking about. That is a wonderful festival. It's happening 2 weeks today.
Yeah. Definitely check that out. It looks fantastic.
I'm going to give you the details.
Please do.
And you're going to write the story.
I will.
Good.
Thank you.
You've got to say a happy birthday to somebody. I've just remembered.
My sister, Daisy May, is 12 years old today.
12 years old,
honestly. She is just wonderful. She's cool. She's smart. She's much cooler than I was when I was 12. She's into Mandarin. She's into, you know, she loves, you know, Chinese culture. I wasn't into anything like that when I was that age.
So you were doing something like you were going to eat something. I thought Mandarin. She likes Mandarins.
Mandarins.
But no, she's,
I like, you know,
she's like speaking
oranges.
It. Yeah?
Yeah, she's learning. I bought her like a teach yourself Chinese book. for her birthday, so I'm going to go to see her tomorrow night. And no, I think she's at school today. So, Daisy, if you can or can't hear me, then hello, happy birthday. She's wonderful.
And she's 12. Okay, 12 years old. Look, we've got to go, but thank you for being there.